I am a child. Are you a child of God this morning? Rise up to your feet. No longer a slave. Just for that. Thank you, Lord. He drowned my sins on His perfect love. Hallelujah. You know what? God is so awesome. God is so good. I was going to speak to you about this journey. The first Exodus. You know, the slaves. And how God drowned the tax masters, our sins, our spirit, those demons that tortures us for a while. God is so awesome. See, I didn't ask Him for a confirmation, but He still gave it to me. Well, way deep in my soul, you know, I want a confirmation. And God is so good this morning. So, as I stand here, I have to tell you that this word is going to be a blessing to you. It's already started being a blessing to you. See, that is when we don't depend on ourselves. I don't depend on my abilities. I have none. I don't depend on my speaking. I'm not a good speaker. In fact, I don't speak at all. But see, I depend on Him. And that's when we come to this pulpit. We are not depending on our merits. You know, we depend on His work that He's doing through us. So if you are trusting in God this morning, you will get what you came looking for. God will supply. God will meet all your needs if you look to Him. Don't look unto me. I'm just a man. I will fail you. But look unto Him this morning. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank You. You are such a grateful and loving and caring God. We don't deserve it. But Father, You made us worthy. We're not looking at ourselves. We're looking at You, Father, at Your word. We're looking at what You said of me, not what I think of myself. Because if I look at myself, I will not see nothing good but You. That's all. Thank You, Father, for leading us and guiding us and keeping us through the week. Thank You for allowing us to have one more time in this side of time to come together and worship You and adore You and love You and let You make love to us this morning. Father, we thank You for Your mercy and Your grace that are afresh every day. Your goodness and Your mercy follow me all the days of my life. Not yesterday, not today, but tomorrow. We thank You, Lord. Just don't have no words to express my love to You. So You're going to have to give me a different language to do this. Father, but we stand here, we do our best. Our best to stand aside and let You come and have Your way this morning. In Jesus' name, we ask You all these precious things, Father. Amen and amen. Thank you, musicians. Are you glad to be here this morning?
Yeah.
I mean, where are you going to be beside church? Amen. I'm thankful that you came. I'm thankful for those that are streaming this morning. And we thank God for, because we still have a place, we still have a church, we can congregate and we can come together in one mind, in one accord and worship God.
Yeah.
I mean, some countries you cannot do that. We should take advantage of that opportunity. I don't want to keep you standing too much. When I want to go to Exodus, I told you we're going to preach about the church journey. That was my title. I don't know what my title is, but it will come up in a minute. So I didn't make it up. So, from a slave to a son of a king.
Amen.
From rags to riches.
Amen. Right.
Praise the Lord. God is so good. This journey took 40 years, and I don't have 40 years. Probably don't even have 40 hours. So that's what I put at one. I don't know how far I'm going to go, but I'll try my best to take him out of Egypt. I might not take him out of Egypt. So we will until, you know, next time, when tonight, we might take him out of Egypt. I'm hoping that we get him into the journey to the wilderness. But if it's not, hey, if I have another chance, we call this journey number one, the beginning. So I want to read Exodus chapter 3 from verse 7 to 10. I don't have it in my notes. I'm sorry. Something that I changed. So will you find me, and Brother William, Exodus 3, 7 to 10. And if you guys can look at the Bible so we can be all in one accord.
Amen.
It is not that I'm not prepared. It's just like when I come over here, I was prepared, but he tells me another thing. You have to be flexible in this thing. You cannot say, God, this is it, and this is the... No, that's what people do. They put a period, and that's it. So let's read. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taxmasters. There's a lot of spirits and a lot of demons that, you know, today that are tormenting the people. At what time I was tormented? Oh, heavily. We're not going to go into that because it's not the scope of my, give you my testimony, maybe some other time. He said, reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. You know, God is aware of your affliction. God is aware of what you're going through. Do not dismay.
Amen.
You know, do not doubt. Just trust the Lord. Be patient and wait on the Lord.
Amen.
He knows what you're going through.
Yeah.
8. And I am come down to deliver them.
Hallelujah.
When, he didn't say when, but he said, I'm coming to deliver you.
Amen.
The problem is we have to be patient because we don't know when.
Right.
But the when don't matter. It is done.
Yeah. Amen.
Because he said it. He cannot lie to you. He cannot lie to me.
Right.
Them out of the hands of the Egyptian and bring them out to the land unto a good land and a large and I and unto, what's wrong with you? Slow down. Unto a land flowing with milk and honey. That's a journey. Unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites. Parasites sounds like, you know, viruses and all the ites, humusites. 9. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me. And I have, see, God don't have a deaf ear to you. God is listening. God is paying attention. And God is in control. He's not had losses. You know, he's not surprised what's going on. So don't never think that God don't hear your prayers.
Amen.
Come to me. And I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppressed them. 10. Now, therefore, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh. Who? I will send thee. Who is I? What the big I am.
Amen.
I will send thee, Moses, that thou might bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt.
Amen.
Egypt. And Moses said unto God, who am I? Who am I? Who are we? That I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt. Let us. We already had a little prayer, so you can be seated. Brother Branham says, in Israel and the church. Well, what a title. Israel and the church. Because this is what the journey is all about. You know, Israel in the natural, the church in the spiritual. And Brother Brown says, yeah, you can go back to my notes now. I'm good now. Thank you. We're getting together here sooner or later. Don't worry about it. We know where we are. We know where we're going. I know what I'm standing to. I'm not lost. Sometimes I get confused. Sometimes I get frustrated, but that don't mean I'm lost. You know? I just had to get hold of myself and get back into the journey.
Amen.
It says, in the book of Numbers, we turned last evening. It says, we've been having four stages. Then he says, three stages of the journey to take this week of the pilgrimage of the children of Israel. Typifying, typing, as we believe in typology, typing the old church that was the natural church, Israelite, it says, with the new. That is the New Testament church. Then, in the natural, we in the spiritual. The Lord has met with us. You know, sometimes I get nervous, sometimes I get anxiety. But it's not because I am anxious or I'm nervous. It's because the Spirit of God, every time it comes around, my heart starts tugging, start pumping. So I learned not to give Satan any credit. If I feel the way I feel, it's the Spirit of God that moves around. What is a journey? Let's talk about a journey first so we can understand. I was looking for the water. Oh, here we go. What is a journey? So a journey is not a trip. You know, I just finished having a trip. I went to from Tucson, point A, and I went all the way to Michigan, point B. Yes, I went to visit my grandchildren. Don't tell my daughter because I don't want to visit them. I visit my grandchildren. I hope they're not streaming. No, they're not streaming. So, yeah, I made that effort. That's a lot of driving, but I went to see my grandchildren. Isabel was celebrating her 13. So she became a teenager. So I wanted to be there. She invited me in July before she left. And you know what? I said yes. So I prayed about it, and I prayed about it, and God made the way.
Amen.
So I left on the Wednesday, about the 3rd, 2nd September. I was there on Friday. Celebrated her birthday on Saturday. Then I stayed there a week. The next Saturday, the following Saturday, I celebrated Ileana's birthday. She was 6. So I killed 2 birds with 1 stone. So Sunday, a week from now, I got back in the car, took my time, but it took me 3 days. I wasn't going to, you know, I'm retired. I don't have nothing to look forward, at least work. Well, this is work, but you know, that's why I came back early, because I needed to prepare for the service. So anyway, but that was a trip. You know, you take a trip. A trip is linear. You know, it's time is linear. Linear, whatever, you know, a line. You go from point A to point B. And once the trip is over, where are you going to go if you don't have no more plans? You have to return back to point A. That's it. But a journey is not a trip. A journey is made up of little trips. But a journey has no beginning and it has no end. See? A journey is not like, you know, I have a goal. I'm going from here to here and that's it. Done. A journey is a process. A trip is not a process, but it's part of a journey. See? So, what is this process? The process is that you have to have a vision. See? In a trip, you might have a goal to get there, and that's it. That's your objective. But it's not a vision, you know. A vision is something that you pursue. It's not something that it ends. It's a process. So you have to have a vision. And you also have to have a goal, an objective. And more than anything, you have to have a purpose.
Amen.
See, a trip has a purpose, but it ends once you get there. But a journey, it has a purpose that never ends. And that is the difference between a journey and a trip. Now, what is our vision? A vision is the ability of being able to see You know, when you sleep, a dream is a night vision. Brother Banner had a lot of vision. It's the ability to see the future. The Bible said, without a vision, my people, what? If you just are coming along for a trip, I am sorry, that's all you're going to get. You're going to begin and you're going to end, and we're going to continue because we are not in a trip with a goal. I have a vision.
Amen.
And my vision comes from God, from His Word.
Amen.
So a vision is an understanding of where I'm going.
Amen.
Where I want to go.
Amen.
Not where I want to end and come back. Ain't, you know, coming back is not an issue here. It's not a choice. I started this move. I started this journey. I ain't looking back.
Amen.
Even if I trip on my trip, no pun intended, if I trip on my trip, I still get up and go that way.
Amen. Yeah, right.
So you have to have a vision. You have to have a goal. And what is a goal? A knowing. Knowing what you want to achieve and how you're going to achieve it, even if you take little trips. Little trips, their goals. So you need to know where the knowing as to how you're going to get there. Also, you have an objective, and the objective is through the process, through this journey, you are being changed. You are being developed. The process of a journey is not for you to start the same way and end the same way. Something has to change in this trip because it has to match the vision. You have to have a vision that you're looking towards. Abraham was looking for a city. What was the city he was looking for? He had a vision. See, it's too rebounding. Hold on. He had a vision of a city. What was the city? Jerusalem. What was the city? Zion. See, and it doesn't matter how long he journeyed. That was his journey. And the thing that happened, it doesn't matter. Why? Because he was looking for a city. That was the vision. And until that vision came reality on his life, he was not going to stop. And you and I the same way. I have a vision. And my vision is Mount Zion as well. I'm going to show you. Israel. The new Jerusalem that comes down from heaven. See? That's my vision. My vision is to be what he already saw before the beginning of the world that I'm supposed to be. I am now a son of God.
Amen.
So a journey has a purpose. And that purpose is to match the vision. When you come to church, what is your vision? This is not a trip. Because that's what we see people coming and leaving.
Amen.
Why? Because they're just the Israelite. As soon as they came out of Egypt and encountered the first problem as an issue, it was Pharaoh with all his army, and against the wall of the sea, they said, "Oh, you brought us out to. We better off if we would just go back." See, and some more. Christians in this message, young people and old people, and the middle too, they just have a trip kind of a mind. See, I come to church until things get rough. But some people come and things get rough. You see, but Abraham never gave up when things got rough. Because it was a journey. It wasn't a trip, you know. Took me out of my home so I can. It wasn't a trip. It was a journey. And he was not going to stop until that journey was accomplished.
Amen.
And accomplished the goal and the vision of that city. So sometimes they come to church, and sometimes, I'm not talking about anybody, if you know somebody, fine. My legs, sometimes I want to give up. So they come to church, and the pressures of the church they came from, and the pressures of their life, and the peers, and the pressure, and the pressure, then you don't see them anymore. That was the end of the trip. That was the end of the trip to love divine. To make it more specific, Why? Because that's the mentality, a trip mentality. As long as everything goes my way, as long as I like the church, as long as I like the church, as long as I like this and dislike, you know, the trip is good. But when things get rough, you know who is in the journey, in the real journey.
Right.
You know, I came to this church and I told Brother Doug when I came, I said, you know, I left from there and I'm here now. And I stay here until death do us apart. I'm not going to say never something is not going to happen. I don't know. But my mentality is not a trick mentality. I'm in this church for a little bit to see what I can get. But they told me to come over here. You know, this and that, whatever the excuse is. We're not in a trip. We're not tripping in this church. At least I'm not tripping. And if I'm tripping, I'm tripping in the good wine. I like to do that. Wow. Get high. Hey, when the Spirit of the Lord comes, and you have not experienced that?
Yes.
I have.
Amen.
Every time he comes and he's kind of dumbfound you and strike you down in the floor,
Amen.
You just... What, the first time I received the Holy Ghost, I was high for a week. The first time I didn't even know. I went to work. You could have kicked me, you could have slapped me, you could have spit on me, and I would have just kissed you and loved you.
Amen.
I was out of my mind at that time.
Amen.
In fact, I had to go home early because I couldn't do my work. I lost my mind.
Amen.
And when you lose your mind,
Amen.
When the Spirit comes around, you don't care who's next to you. You don't care if you raise your hand. You don't care. You run, you know.
Yeah.
That is the Spirit of God. We're not doing a show. We're not doing a trip here. But see, if you have not experienced that, you're just like the blind mouse, anyway. Trying to explain a blind guy the colors of the, you know, rainbow when he had never seen in his life. Trying to explain to somebody about the Holy Ghost that never had the experience is the worst thing you can do. That's why you don't explain things that way. You just pray and you just talk and you just show what the Bible and let God. God has to open the understanding. It's not you. In fact, you can do nothing. If you love someone, if you love not so much the person, but if you love the soul, because that is all this is about, loving someone else's soul. I don't care if he's your enemy. He has a soul. But if you love a soul, you will do everything in your power. Brother Van says, as long as there's life in that person,
Amen.
You will do everything possible to bring him the good news.
Amen.
The soul is what worth 10,000.
Right.
The man might be mean, but the soul... And if you really love that man's soul, you will go after him.
Amen.
It's not going to be a trip. You know, well, he told me to get away, I'm done. I gave him the word test, I'm done. This is not a trip. This is a journey to whoever we found in the road, hurt, you know, afflicted. It's to, like those, that one that was robbed and he was hurt, and there was three, a priest, another one, and a Samaritan came, and a Jew. I don't know, I forgot the story but we know that the last one took care of him. The first one said, well, I got service this morning. You know, I cannot take care of you. The other one said, well, you know, you and I don't see eye to eye. You know, you are this, and I am Jewish, and you are Gentile, or whatever, Samaritan. And then the last one comes in, and he took him to the inn. Why? The soul is what is important here. And if you love your brother and your sister, and if you love your enemy at work and at school, if you really love someone's soul like you're supposed to and I'm supposed to, you will do everything you can to present the gospel.
Yeah.
But what happens if he says, no, I don't want to hear about God and your Jesus? It doesn't matter. If you still love that soul, you pray. Okay, you don't have the right to infringe on somebody's liberties and rights, but don't stop praying for that one. We have cases, 25 years, 13 years, people praying for people. And God, maybe he did not use you, but he used somebody else.
Right.
God, if you don't send me, if I cannot go, please raise someone. Bring someone to talk to my son, to my daughter, to my brother, to my friend. Amen. You don't have to lead them, but you can pray that God will lead them somehow. Amen. Your family that is at their loss, don't lose hope. Pray.
Right.
Pray. I cannot talk to them. I cannot reach them any longer. Pray. You can reach God.
Amen.
Don't lose any hope. Okay, let's get back to my notes. So, a vision. A journey has to have a goal, an objective, and a purpose. The purpose is to match that vision. Take Job for example. Job, we know. I'm glad I know two languages anyway. The purpose of his journey was to know who he was. You know, he didn't know who he was. Oh, he went to church and he went to the sacrifices, to the worship, come to church for many years, and you go through the, you know, to the rituals. And he went and he prayed for his family. He things in order. He did things right. He acted right according to the word. But that was just, you know, what he had to do according to the word of God. And that's good. That's the mechanics, right? Then Satan came and said, you know, the only reason those guys do what they do is because you have a hedge around them. You don't let me touch them. You see? So you know the story. So here comes Satan and make his life miserable. He says, you can touch him, but do not touch the wine and the oil. Oh no, that's not what he said. But I mean, that's what it symbolized to me. Sorry, I went too ahead of myself. You know, but don't touch his life. Today is, because we have to bring him to some understanding, you know, some practical things for us. He says, do not touch. You can afflict them. You can do whatever you allow you to do. Do not touch the word, the wine, the spirit is the word, and the stimulation of that. So we come to church all afflicted, and the devil has given us, you know, a good run through the week. But when we come to church, he cannot touch.
Amen.
The word that comes forward and the stimulation of the word. But he's outside waiting, you know, but nevertheless, he cannot touch it. I'm glad of that. See? He cannot touch my soul. He's been out and sealed away. Well, he can deal with this and tease me and do whatever he wants to. But listen, the word and the spirit remain.
Amen.
So his Job, or Job, whatever you want to pronounce it, in Spanish you use a J like a J like a Y or what's, you know, Job, Chevy, like Chevrolet, we pronounce it Chevy. We don't know how to do Chevy, whatever you pronounce that word. It's not a C-H, T-H, S-H, and not in our Spanish vocabulary. We never learned to pronounce them. We never knew how the tongue, where it goes, and the muscles, you know, the mouths you form. We never, so when we come to America, it sounds funny. The B, like boy, and the V, you have to get your lips. Hey. See, I didn't learn that. Because in Puerto Rico, in Spanish, grammar, B and B have the same sound. So when I came to America, I used to say, oh, I like baseball very, very, very good. People say, Betty, Betty, Betty. He says, I didn't know they had different pronunciations. So if I sound funny, you understand why. There's some things that we don't, it's not, you know, built in our vocabulary, in our also voice box. The muscle has to be in the right place, the tongue has to be in the right place, and the mouth has to be in the right place. Okay, so Job. Oh, anyway. You know, here come God. And what did God has to do when he was complaining, when he was, you know, afflicted, tormented? You know, sometimes we get to that point, huh, brother? Sometimes we get that far down, tormented and afflicted. And you know what? And God has to say, Job, the vision, Job, where were you?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
The vision. He was just looking at his circumstances, at his pain, at his suffering, at his situation, circumstances. God has to come down. Sometimes he has to do the same thing with you and with you. He has to come down and say, where were you? Don't lose sight of the vision. Because that is what's going to carry you all the way through. Because you will become the vision. But sometimes we lose it. Sometimes we lose focus. And we come to church and bam, God has to kind of give you a leader, you know, spanking. And you wake up and say, yeah, I am a son of God. And then when you leave church, you think, where's that devil? Where's that devil? I'm just going to let it have him. So yeah, you feel like, you know, you're back in your journey. You're back in. Your vision is clear now. That's what the pulpit do. It give you a clear vision. We are here to give you a vision of who you are, what you are, and where you're going, and where you came from. So when the world gave you surprises, you are not surprised. Because I don't care what they said. I know who I am. I know what I'm going and where I'm going. So that's why you come to church. So you can learn what? The vision. And don't let anybody out there tell you any different. Once you know, there's nobody can take it away from you. Right, but those people that are just tripping in church, of course, anything that happens, next thing you know, they're gone. Why? Well, they join another trip. And then they're not satisfied. I know they're not going to be satisfied. I was there. Nothing satisfied me. I went from trip to trip to trip to trip until I ended up in Vietnam, and that was a big trip. And I ain't got no time to tell you about that trip. It was hard. That was a trip, anyway, that you don't want to know about, anyway. So, what is a trip? Then, what is a journey, then? A journey is not a physical thing, not from point A to point B. A journey is a self, spiritually, it's a self-exploration. It's a self-knowing. You know, when everything goes back, it's a self, who you are, what you are, where are you going. So you start this journey to explore yourself. Know what comes to you, because what comes to you is what's going to shape you and make you you. Don't concentrate what's come. Concentrate what God is doing in your life to shape you and form you so you can continue your journey. Amen. A purpose is self-exploration. It is knowing, self-knowing, and to find ourselves in Him. That is my goal. That is my vision. I need to find myself in the image that He had before the foundation of the world. That is what I want to find myself. And that is a journey. And the devil is not going to let you have a good time in your journey. You know that? So, again, reiterating these things. Well, what a word. A journey has no beginning and has no end. A trip has ends. You know, when I started this life, when I was born, my trip started. What a trip. Come lying and shaping iniquity. Slave. A slave of sin. I couldn't help her, Brother Aggie. Whatever I wanted to do, I could not do. The good things that I wanted to do, I couldn't. Why? Because I had one master. And I could not change it. I had no choice. I was born in slavery. That was a trip. But that trip ended one day. And I started in another trip. When He came to me. You see, the first taskmaster died. Satan has to die. Your first husband has to die. See, all the taskmasters were drowned. Sin was drowned by His love. And I was born again. Amen. I'm in a different trip now, Brother Manuel. Yeah, I started in a bad one. It was a nightmare. And I tell you, until I went, you know, God took me through. You know, He led me. He allowed me to do whatever I wanted to do. But it seems like the more I went, the more down. I make myself a hole. Nothing went right. End up in Vietnam, then end up with PTS, post, whatever, traumatic syndrome. Wanted to kill myself. I mean, I was crazy when I went to the army. When I got out, I was insane. Because I added some more to my life. I thinking I was in control. I was in a hole, in an abyss, in a dark place, way down. This Satan just put me, buried me way down. He figured that God would not find me down there. And I was out there crying. Yeah, I was. Life didn't mean anything no more to me. And I'm hanging. You know, there's no place to go but drop. No, fondo to the hole. No bottom, thank you. I had to think in Spanish to order to speak in English. So you know that I'm going. So that's why it takes me some time. I cannot do it in English. I had to think in Spanish and use your language as a tool to communicate with you. And that's why sometimes it sounds bad, because the way Spanish is written and the English is backwards. But you had to, in your own mind, that's why you had to pay attention, because you're going to have to do this. Brother Dutch sometimes looks at me. I know when you understand me, I'm going to use him because I love him anyway. When I see that your front hair goes like this, and I see it don't slide when I'm talking, right away, I've used him as, this is my, you know, my sounding board. Because he makes, I mean, he's not doing it because, you know, meaningless. It's just his reaction when he's trying to, what did he say? So then when I see that, now he's not going to do it anymore. When I see that, I go back and say it in another way until I see the thing relaxing. I do that because my situation. You know, I wasn't born in America. I didn't learn all the frequencies. You know, English, you learn by frequencies, by sound, when you are born. Once you learn, after a certain stage of your life, you don't learn anymore. You just know. You know, at a certain point, learning stops, you know. The system stops because everything has been programmed. That's it. So when I came to America, I was already a man, you know, 19, 20 years old. So I was already shaped and formed by Spanish language and the sounds. I don't know why I'm continuing this thing, giving you. Anyway, after this, I won't tell you anymore. So what happened is that you cannot teach an old dog new tricks. I was already shaped and formed. But I had the ability to look at the English and look at the Spanish and, you know, merge them together and trying to get what I need. They're trying to communicate what I have for you. Okay, no more. So, a journey. Beginning and no end. Job, God came and said, Job, you are looking at your circumstances. You're looking at your situation. I want you to look at the vision. See? And that's the same thing with me. I was telling you, I was in a hole as deep as I could. Satan put me there. It was dark, and I lost up hope. You know, my sadness almost killed me completely. I was sad. That's the kind of life the devil will give you. No hope, sadness, confusion. So I cried, and I cried. I couldn't do nothing else. Cried to God. Finally, he brought me to that point. Opened my eyes and I saw a hand that was reaching to me and pulled me out of that hole. See? But that was my first beginning. That trip ended. So glad. He shaped me, he molded me, and he filled me with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. I've been about 40 years in this journey. Man. 30 to 40. Give or take, whatever you want to start, the journey. So you and I, the same way, you started a journey. You know, things went the way they went, finally. That is the problem when you have a Christian, a message believer, that caught their teeth on the message pew. Because they think that I haven't touched a woman. I haven't kissed anybody. I haven't lied. I haven't smoked, you know. I'm probably one I used to. I haven't done this and I haven't done that. I haven't committed adultery. So what's your point? You're still lost, just like me. Now, praise God that he watched over your life. Like Brother Branham, he had a thing he needed to do, and brother, and God kept him. You know, so he would not defile his body. Praise the Lord. But he didn't keep me, but he kept me. Yeah. So the problem with those people that never done anything, and they were always been a church, and somebody come from the street, the first thing they started just, I know her. Yeah, she goes to my school. I know what she did. Listen, my friend. We all in the same boat. And we came out of the same thing. We all went astray. Don't you think that you are better than somebody else? You're special. Not a special Ed like me, but you're special. But you're not better. In God's kingdom, you are not better than your brother. There's no big eyes, small use. We all the same. And treat each other with dignity and with love. Respect. The prostitute came. They wanted to stone her. Do you think Jesus said, well, you don't, girl? Right. Or the one at the well in Samaria, you don't, girl. In fact, there's nothing we can do for you. No. He loved, like I said again, and I'll repeat it, he loved their soul. What they've done is gone now. Right. Your whole life, your first trip is gone. Job was brought up to that realization. It is the vision. And what is your vision this morning? Now let me give you one more detail here for this journey. You need to understand, we'll probably never get into Egypt anyway, but listen, my introduction might take me the whole. It doesn't matter. Listen. We didn't have no beginning and we didn't have no end. Right? You was in his mind before the beginning.
That's right.
And if you came from God, you ain't got no end. He's the only one with eternal life. So you had no beginning and you had no end. So whatever happened here in this trip, in this journey, you know, it is just a shaping, a molding, a development, a changes to match this that was here when you come over here. That's all. See? Yeah, you started your journey when you was born again, but your journey did not start here. You did not recognize that you was a son or a daughter of God when you came down and you accepted the Lord. No, you was always a son and a daughter of God. You had no beginning and you had no end.
Amen.
And that one that started and begun the good work, he will what? Amen. So in this journey, the one that began in the work when he saved you, and fill you with it, he will finish it. Why? Because you had no beginning in this journey and you got no end.
Amen.
Now, next time the devil come and bother you, you tell the devil you're tripping because you have a beginning and you have an end. And I'm going to be in the kicking committee that is going to kick you in that pit. See, but I had no beginning and no end, so I don't die.
Amen.
I'm eternal.
Amen.
So next time he comes to you and give you a hard time, you tell him, rub that in his face.
Yeah.
See? Because everything that had a beginning has to end.
Right.
So what you need to know is you make sure your calling and your election is sure. And get your vision straight. His vision of you. Amen. So the Lord took the children of Israel out of Egypt, not yet, but we're going to. They were in bondage. To lead them into a land flowing with milk and honey. According, that is just a trip, part of the journey. That was not the end of the journey. Most of them wanted to get back in the middle of the journey because they were tripping. So we're gonna get back. You know, you brought us here to kill us. What do you make me come to love divine? Nobody make you come anywhere. Nobody forces you. But I'm glad you come, and I wish you understand the principles and the concepts of this journey. We all got to go through these things. God is working. God is developing. God is changing, forming us. So whatever comes, you are not surprised because God knows what you need. Amen. You don't. I don't. God knows what you need.
Amen.
So when the stuff comes, we don't complain. Thank God, because you found me worthy to go through this test. Because I tell you what, there's two things to a test. God take you from a bad thing, and he bring you to a good thing. So how can you lose? How can... The one that let Satan tempt you is the one that is going to have the solution to take you out. Every temptation has its way out. How can you lose? So when you go in this journey, don't get so caught up in power, wow, see. Look at the picture. All this has something to do with that vision. See? It's part of it. It's part of your journey. So the church in the spiritual goes from earth to heaven. See? That is our journey. God is shaping up. God has given up everything that we have need in the Holy Spirit to go from earth to heaven. God has not missed anything. You know? You don't understand everything. I don't understand everything. I don't understand what this thing happens to me. I don't know anything, but God knows everything. So we need to trust him. Because he has something good. In fact, once you come out of that test and whatever, you are going to be better than when you was in that. You know what? I was thinking about Sister Angela the other day. And everybody was, you know, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know. But then I started thinking what she went through. You know, you don't know what she went through. So the only thing you look is at the end of the trip here. But I kept thinking, man, the suffering, the pain that it took to have this victory. See, sometimes we think about the victory because you are not identified with this. See, I don't know how, at one point somebody will tell me when my father died or my mother died, mine were living, I could not identify with their death. I don't know what they were feeling. And the same thing with Sister. I don't know what she felt. I don't know what she went through. I know one thing. She started and she had victory. But never, never, never dismiss the fact that your liberty caused someone something. Suffering, death. Never forget that what you are enjoying right now caused blood. I went to Vietnam, many died. Many blood was shed for you to be free.
Yeah.
See, all you see, I'm free, and I can do it. Look at what that caused.
Yeah.
People shed the blood so you be where you are right now and have the liberty you have.
Yeah.
Don't take it for granted. Don't take for granted what your pastor do. Yeah, you see a good sermon, you don't know what it took.
Amen.
Thank God. Give him strength. Help him.
Yes.
You know, refresh him. Yes. I'm glad he's something. Give him the desire of his heart. So when he comes back, he will be ready to jump back in that journey. Sometimes we take it too, you know, common. You know, all this riot and all this in the street, people don't understand that. They're doing that, but that costs somebody something. For them to have the liberty to go and do what they're doing, but you know they don't even have a cue.
Right.
Because if they did, they wouldn't do it the way they're doing it. Anyway, that was a free commercial. The church spiritual journey from earth to heaven. And God has given up, equipped us with everything that we have need. So you don't have no excuse to say, well, what am I going to do here? Don't be surprised. Thank you. Thank you. See, he's, okay. Thank you, Brother Dosh. I love you. But now you know. To gain understanding, and this is why we are in this journey, we need to gain understanding of our spiritual journey. And the only way we're going to gain that understanding and we're going to know where we are, where we came from, where we're going, is to look at the natural journey. You know, sometimes, you know, I hear people saying, but I am not what I used to be, that the black woman testimony. Brother says, she said, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm not what I want to be. So what are you? Where are you? That's my concern. I know this trip is over, and I know my vision, but where am I? That's my concern. Always been my concern. Where am I in this journey? This is the purpose of my preaching this morning. This is the purpose of my speaking. The natural journey of Israel that took place thousands of years ago, it is a shadow, a type, you know, a picture of our journey. So I know most of you, when I start this journey, whenever, and you're going to find yourself somewhere in that journey. And that is my purpose. I want you to know where you are. I know you know where you came from. But and you know where you're going. But I want you to know where you are. Amen. I always want to know where I'm standing. What good it will do to know the message, to know the Bible, to know who you are, to know where you're standing if you don't know what direction you're going? Amen. That is what I'm talking about. Some of you, you know this message, memorized it, can quote it without looking. I can't yet, but and the Bible and all these things, and you know that God sent a message, and you know this, and you know where you're standing this morning in the message of the hour. But if you don't have no direction, there's no progress. Because if you don't know where you're going, how can you progress on those things that you already read and know? If you don't know where they're going to take you, you know the end, but you don't know where you are. You know, if you're going left, Brahman said, if you're going south, you know, you have to end south, right? You cannot end going north. If you know you're going that way, that's my direction, that's where you end. But you're in a journey that you need to know what direction you're going. I'm going to hit the vision, the goal. It's not good enough to come to church and follow somebody else. A lot of those guys were tripping, following somebody else. They wanted to get out of Egypt. They were tortured. Just, you know, it was a mixed multitude. Some took an advantage to get out with the Israelites. But see, they had no vision. And then in church, it's a mixture of people that have visions and people that have a trip kind of a vision. And they don't last too long. That little trip is kind of short. We have seen it many times, over and over. People come and they don't last too long. And that's why we try, as hard as we do in this pulpit, we try to give you a vision. We try to give you the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost, without it, you cannot see the vision. You cannot see the journey. You cannot see what the Word of God is trying to take you to. Because the Word of God is a map. Yeah. That tells me where I came from, where I am, and where I'm going. Yeah. But I need to know these things. Yeah. Ephesians. So, it is a map. It is a map that I'm going to use. Some of you are going to find yourself in the beginning. Some of you probably never started. Some of you are going to find yourself here in the middle. And some of you are going to be here. But until all. So if you're here, be patient and do whatever you can to provoke those guys to, because we are not leaving here, we're not leaving anybody. They're all going. So don't get frustrated. Be patient. Tolerate the ones that are here. You know, I used to have a friend, an Asian friend, a brother. I mean, he was older than me, way older at that time. Now I'm old. Anyway, so he used to talk to me about the scriptures and the message. And he used to open these wings like a big eagle, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and started flapping. And he blew me away. I don't know what he was talking about. He knew. He's here almost. You know, sometimes, you know, and I had to stop and say, what do you mean? What do that mean? But he wouldn't tell me, because if he tells me, he thought that he was giving me his revelation. He wanted me to have my own revelation, but I don't even understand what he's talking about. How can I get a revelation? Things are not clear, you know? So I loved him, dearly loved him. And But that happened to us. You're here, and then some new person come in, and whatever, you know, in the middle of the journey, and you suddenly go, let me tell you. Poor guy. You know, Jesus left his throne to come and make himself Lord than you. He came to the Lord's Lord. If he wouldn't done that, you can never reach, you can never make yourself, you can't even go that high. But he came to your level and to talk to you. And some of us, we need to do the same thing. Sometimes we are here, but you know, if you want to be first, if you want to be the leader, make yourself what? The last one. If you're the spiritual, the intelligent, make yourself dumb. Sometimes you have to dumb it off to talk to some of these kids, not that they're dumb. Sometimes you have to kind of, your conversation needs to tone down to their level. Because you've been there. You know that. So you can relate. So the natural journey and the spiritual journey. Ephesians 4:13-14, I think is there. For the perfecting of the saint. That's what this journey is all about. To bring you to a perfection. For the work of the ministry. Whatever ministry you have. And if you don't have a ministry, you support a ministry. So for that work of that ministry, you are being brought up. For the edifying of the body is to edify one another. Encouraging one another, you know, with that vision, you know. It says, till we come to the unity of our faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Unto what? To a perfect man. Well, I'll be honest, I'm not there yet. But I'm not here. I'm not here, but I know where I am. You know, the Lord's still working on me. Not that I already attained the thing that Paul says, but I will. You know, hang around a little longer. I will. And I hope you'll not be surprised. Unto the measurement of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen. See? It is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. Christ-like. This journey is to shape me and mold me until Jesus be seen in me. Amen. Every word, every conversation, every action will be His in me. It is God manifesting Himself in me. The bride. What? Who is the bride? Well, the bride is Jesus, right? We said, well, I don't know, Miss Jesus, we said, right? Why? Because she is Him. Yeah. And He and she and He is in her. So she's Miss Jesus, incarnated once again in this world. See? Why? Finishing the work that He started 2,000 years ago. See? So that's who she is. That's who you are. You are little messiahs. You are little gods. Yeah. With small g. Why? Representing God in this earth. Let His will in heaven be done here. How He's going to do it? You.
Amen.
You.
Amen.
And that is the goal. The goal and is that you be a messiah. And you are. It says, unto me a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, not only the fullness of Christ, but in this journey, God is taking us all the way to an inheritance. See, the people of Israel, they were promised an inheritance in the promised land. See, you and I have an inheritance. What is your inheritance? Everything that He, you know, professed. His word, everything that He says I am, that's what I will be. My inheritance is the rapture. See, my inheritance is that everything He says in that word I am, that's what I am. You know, Brother Brown says, your inheritance is all the promises of the Bible, they are yours. And that is your inheritance, but Satan is not going to let him go, you know, that easy. You're going to fight for every step of the way. But they're yours. All you have to do the fighting. See, the journey is already set. The war is already set. Yeah, I'm not at war, but you're in the middle of a war. So you got been pulling into this. This is not a picnic. But you are fighting for what? For what's yours.
Amen.
You have an inheritance. But you're going to have to fight. And that is not a trip mentality. When things get tough, they say the tough get going and not just decide to go back. See, that is a man and a woman that has a vision. That whatever comes to her, when Satan comes as a flood, raise a what? What is a standard? Well, God raises his word. You are the word. You are the word. Satan said this, and the standard said, this is God. This is what God thought about it. This is what he told me it is. This is what the word, see, that's the standard. It's not like he's going to drown you. Satan comes with his little lies, and you raise up and say, that's not so. It was not so. See, he tried to tell Jesus, you know, the same thing. And Jesus says, you know, you need to quote the whole word and not just parts, portions. So you are a standard in this world. When you walk in school, when you are at work, you are a standard for every attack that Satan has in that day. Every challenge that you face that day, you are the standard. You are the answer to every challenge of Satan. That's who you are. So we need to walk worthy of our callings. So this journey, like I said, in the natural, started in Egypt, went to the wilderness, and then to the promised land. But that wasn't the end. See, sometimes we have these mentalities that, you know, this is it, I have arrived. You know, I have not arrived. But sometimes we come to church, we think, you know, I got it. Oh, I know more than that pastor. Okay, good. You see, I know. So don't tell me. You know, so if you have arrived, what are you doing here? You should have made the rapture by yourself. I mean, if you got that far. But see, the point is that was the trip from Egypt to the promised land. You know, in the spiritual, from sinners to being shaped, perfected as a son and a daughter of God. That is a trip. It's not the end of the journey. This is the preparation. I'm even going to get in that. The preparation is here. But it's not the end. Some people, I got it. I'm done. You know, you're done. When he says we're done, when we are out here, then we're done. If you're still here, we are not done. Because if I was done, you would not see me this morning. I promise you. I'm not done. Or he's not done with me. So what I'm talking about is the children of Israel are supposed to leave Egypt, go to the promised land, possess the entire, you know, promises of God, but they only possess a portion. What time is it? Okay. Only possess a portion. They never possess the entire land. Actually, they're supposed to possess Mount Zion, that was Jerusalem. They didn't possess Jerusalem, the area. So they got satisfied. Well, we have done enough. Look at what we have done. What do you want us to do? I mean, I got up this morning. It was hard, and I was tired, and I got in the car, and I drove through all that crazy traffic. And now you want me to work? You know, now I got to the job. Now you want me to work? Let me rest. Yeah. Well, okay, you didn't get that one, but that's fine. You get it tonight when you're sleeping. So people come to this journey, and then what happens is that they get to certain places in the journey, and they're satisfied. See, you can be justified, but you don't stay there. You can be sanctified. That's part of the journey, but you don't stay there. You can be filled with the Holy Ghost, but that's not the end. Actually, filling of the Holy Ghost is the beginning of what is going to take place here. The goal is Mount Zion. Now, a few years later, maybe 400 years later, David came. And David conquered Jerusalem and Mount Zion. See? But that was the goal. That was the vision. That was the end result of this journey. See, the journey, sometimes we get caught up in the journey, and I'm here, and I'm so and so, and I'm that just been to an end. We're not there yet. Because our vision is Mount Zion. I'm going to read it to you. Revelation 14:1, and I'm almost here. I don't know where I am, but we are. And I look, and lo, a lamb stood in Mount Zion. See? Zion with an S. In the Old Testament, Zion with a Z. Zion. I had to get the things right. Zion. In Puerto Rico, the S and the Z in grammar sound the same. We don't have a difference, for those two. So if I say Zion in the Old Testament, I say Zion and it sounds the same. But sorry, Zion. I got to get the, mouth in the right place. English is crazy anyway. And I look, and lo, a lamb stood in the mount of Zion with an S, and with him 144,000. That was the goal. That was what God wanted, not to take him to the promised land. That was the beginning. To possess the whole land plus Mount Zion, Jerusalem. And that is your journey and my journey. It's not just to be happy with justification, sanctification, and the fill of the Holy Ghost. No, I will not be happy until I come down the New Jerusalem on Mount Zion. See, they were looking that city. Abraham was looking for that Jerusalem. See, Mount Zion. That's what he was looking. That was his vision. But you and I in the spiritual, we're looking for that new city. I want to make it. I will make it. Not because me, but because he said I will make it. In fact, I already made it. I'm just going through the motions, to the trim. I'm already raptured. I'm just waiting for the change. Yeah. Are we going to approach this journey as a victim or as a victor? Some people, they're always complaining like they did. They're crying. Why this? Why that? What this happened to me? Blah, 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 blah. And they're victims. See, the same thing happens to me. But then I don't act like a victim because I know after all this, I'm going to be victorious. Amen. So I don't look at them as a victim. I'm looking about something that sooner or later is going to make me better and I'm going to have victory. Yes. So don't dwell on those things. They happen. I'm not to be insensitive. It happens to me. But you will have victory. Yes. There will be victory at the end of all those little things that happens in your life. So focus on that. Yes. Believe God. So you can't go through this journey being a victim of everything, or you want to be a victorious victor. See, this journey also requires that you have the right mental attitude. You're not a victim. In fact, you are a son and a daughter. You're already a victorious people. All you have to do is act like it. Like we tell, I know you're happy, but tell your face that you're happy. Smile, You already made it, brother. We already made it. All we had to do is just play our part. Yeah. Yes. And I don't care what the world says about me. I care what he says about me. Listen, if you don't accept me, that's fine. As long as he accepts me, that's all I care. Let the world say whatever they want to say. I know what God says. He says, look unto the Lamb, unto the Mount Zion, with him 140,000, having his father's name written in the forehead. This is the portrait of the journey of the believer as well, You go from salvation to a full spiritual maturity. I just read it to you, Ephesians 4. Your journey is to take you from being a child. Paul said, when I was a child, I used to act like a child. But you don't. I hope you are not a 40-year-old acting like a child still. But now I am a what? A man. See? I have reached maturity. I don't act like a child. Some people in this message church, they act like child. Sorry, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about this other church down the corner. When are you going to grow up? When are you going to grow up? And realize that you're in a journey. You are in a play, in a drama, and you got a part to play. Figure out that part. In a journey. And eventually, we should end up in the New Jerusalem. That's my goal. Rapture is just part of the trip in this journey, another part. But my end goal, my vision is the New Jerusalem. Amen. That was the goal of the Israelites. Never made it. They got happy with this portion. They got happy with this portion. And some of them, two tribes, they stayed out of the promised land. Some people are happy outside the blessings of. How can you be that? I stay home and when it's church, not in this kind of situation with the coronavirus, but when we have church, some people prefer to stream, or some people prefer to, for whatever reason, I have nobody in mind. But how can we just get satisfied with that? When church is what the word, the water of the word will wash us and clean us and shape us. The word that comes out of the pulpit to encourage us. You know? Anyway, Romans 12:22. But ye are come, this is talking about us. This is our spiritual journey. I read you, Israel, this is our. But you are come into the Mount Zion. This is Paul. It says, and unto the city of what? Of the living God. Now, this is not here and here and here. This is at the end. This is here. See? We all got to get there. It says, living God in heaven, in the heavenly what? Jerusalem. In heavenly what? Places. Don't settle for less until you get to that city. That city is in heavenly places. When we come to church, we climb what? Heavenly places. See, we don't come to church to stay here or here or here. I want to reach my goal and be in heavenly places. What I'm saying is this. When God comes and the rapture comes, now we can go to a heavenly place, New Jerusalem. No. If you cannot climb now, this journey is to take you spiritually to the New Jerusalem. See, it's not going to make you be when it's already the rapture. It's too late. The journey is for you and I to reach our vision here. If you don't reach your vision here, you think after the rapture, now I'm going to be the son of God and the daughter that it's too late. Come to church and reach the skies. Amen. Oh, yeah, okay. We come in you bring your flesh and you have to, drag your flesh to church. That's fine. I'm okay with that. But don't stay there. Climb. Climb. Climb to heavenly places. That is your place. Mount Zion, spiritual Jerusalem. Because one of these days, we'll be so adjusted to that city. that when we leave here and go to that city, we end up going to say, wow, I never knew. Yes, the Bible describes it. And it's shaping you for you to be in that city. Because you're going to be in that city, sitting in that throne. See? Why? I'm going to give you this and I'm going to finish. Why do I have to know about this journey? And why do I have to do this and that? I had a question when I was growing up, and even through life, this life journey and church and all that. When did God knew he was who he was? At what point in this journey he knew who he was? Because I want to know. Because I need to know. You never ask those questions to yourself? I do. How did he find out? I'm going to tell you, because God told me how. Simple. He found himself in the scriptures. Yeah. it was no New Testament yet. So he went back in the scriptures, and this is what he says in John 5:47 and 39. Let's read 47, then we come back to 39. I'm backwards because that's who I am, backwards. Jesus said that he was God incarnated in flesh. Jesus Christ's journey says, if you really believe Moses, he must have read the Old Testament, and Moses says, God, your Lord, shall rise a prophet like unto. So he already went in there, says, wow. So he started stringing the scriptures, you know. A virgin shall conceive. But he knew that the story was that he was born, a virgin born. So he started stringing, see. He started finding himself in the scriptures. And then David said, I will not see, you know, when he died in Calvary. He's right to see any corruption. So he started stringing. He can do that. Brother Brown says that the scriptures are all tied in a circle. Yeah. That if you could do it, you can take John 3:16 and string the whole entire Bible. See, the Bible, again, it's not a time Bible. So the Bible don't start here and end here. It's no end. Let me explain this to you so you understand this a little bit better. The calendar of God is circular. Seasonal. 30 days. The moon, right? And it's all circular calendar. They go by 30 days. And they're using the moon, the lunar calendar. You and I will use the Gregorian calendar gone by the Greeks. And it's based on the sun. But the sun is a lineal time. You know, a year ago, it's just all lineal. But the Bible of God is circular. That's what happened in the beginning. What happened to the fall? It broke. You know, that little break, that little fall, it broke the continuity of the world, of the word. Because the word is continuous. That's why if you had eternal life, you always had it. You're not going from here to here. I don't have this here now, but I'm going to have it. No. If you had it, when you get back, you still have it. It's eternal. Yeah. Eternity. A ring. That's what it represents. Eternity. But it was a break in eternity. It was a time break. But God is not a time. You know? Point A, point B. God is an eternal. So there's no beginning and there's no end. So Jesus could take all the scriptures because they go like this. They don't go from here to here. Oh, let me get this one from here, a little bit here, a little bit there, a step here. No, he could. So he stole all the scriptures that he spoke about himself. So by the time he was 12 years old, he's arguing with the priest. The priest is thinking time. And God is telling you, this is what happens. From beginning, you know, with those two. Those two disciples from Emmaus, he says he started from what? She started to string in, this is what happened. This is what. Because he's already seen his life all the way through. So that is why when he died in Calvary, he didn't open his mouth. You know why? Because he wasn't surprised. He knew he could do nothing about it because he already saw it in the scriptures what was going to be done to him. So he didn't have to defend himself. He didn't have to complain. He didn't have to get a lawyer. Why? Because it was going to happen, we like it or not. Amen. Why? Because he saw himself in the scripture. And that is what I'm trying to talk to you tonight. You need to see yourself in the scriptures so you will not be surprised when the world gives you headaches. You know? Because God is going to use that for something that he already had in his mind for you and me. Jesus says, search the scriptures. See? That's what he did. So, I don't know. I think 12 years old, he already knew. He already had searched the scriptures until he found, this is who I am. And you can do the same. Because Brother Brown told you, search the scripture. You need to find yourself in the scriptures. See, if you want to have a vision, you need to find out who you are and where you are, and then you can have a vision based on all who you are. What was the vision? Jesus had a vision. And see, for the joy that was put in front of him, you, the bride. That was his vision. That's why he didn't complain. That's why he didn't open his mouth. They slapped him, they kicked him, they hit him, they did all things to him. And he didn't what? Because he knew. Yeah. When the world out there kick you and beat you and said all manner of things and fall, just say, praise the Lord. Amen. Don't open your mouth. Because the vengeance is not yours anyway. It's God's. Amen. So keep your mouth. In fact, sometimes that's one thing we need to practice. How to be silent in certain situations. Yeah. But in other situations, we need to learn how to speak. That's wisdom. When to and when to speak. Anyway, search the scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are the one that what? He already looked at him. Testified of what? He already looked. I mean, he's not going to say something with not knowing. He already searched. And you need to search. And you need to examine. And this journey is a self-exploring, a self-knowing. You need to know who you are. And what you are and where you're going. And then the journey becomes a little bit, it's going to be hard anyway, but at least bearable. Find yourself in the scriptures and you will not be surprised, because nothing is going to surprise you. Nothing is going to surprise God. What will surprise you? You might not understand. So I want to read. You can stand on your feet. I don't know which way. Stand on your feet. I want to read one. It's not in the Tommy, it's not in the notes, but I gave you, so you look that for me, please, because I'm going to read it before I leave. Are you happy?
Amen.
Tell your face you're happy. I know you're happy. I'm happy to be here this morning. Musicians, come on. Because if you don't come, I'll continue. I went to see Tina, and I really enjoyed those 2 weeks. But I was happy to be back. You believe it or not. You know, she has her life, and they got the life, and they got the church, and but then I got my life. This is my life right here in Tucson. So until I get back to my life, sometimes you have to stop your life a little bit to do something, but get back to it. Amen. You are part of my life. All these years, you have become a family. So you are part of my life. And when I'm not here, I miss you. But I decided to give you a vacation of me. That's what I left, so you can rest of me. So vacation is over. I'm here. Okay, let's read this so we can finish. God has a time for everything. So you cannot hurry God. It's going to be done according to his will, so don't get impatient. God has a time and a reason. So whatever happened to you, there's a reason. You might not understand it now, but you will. There's a reason for everything that happened to you and me in this journey. Amen. There's a reason for that time to fulfill all his words. Amen. This journey is here for you and me until we inherit the promised land, we inherit the fulfillment of all his word for you and me. Listen, I want that. I'm not satisfied with this. I want the whole enchilada. I'm not satisfied with just a part. I'm not satisfied with a portion. I want the whole thing. Amen. Why? Because he said it, not me. I wasn't the one that came in this because I wanted to. In fact, I didn't even know it was this or that. It was his calling. It was him did this for me. You know, I didn't even know it was a prophet. I was in the Baptist church. I was fine, you know, but I was still questioning, a lot of questions in my mind about certain things. One of the things was the Trinity. I could never swallow that one, but I didn't know there was a prophet that with a different. So I had to stay with that until. See, that was my attitude. I said, I stayed with it. I told the pastor, I said, well, okay, because I asked him, what about this Trinity business? He said, well, it's just like this. I said, well, okay, I don't understand it, but God's going to have to reveal that. That was my words. Coming out of my, God's going to have to tell me, show me that. And he did. So when he did, my attitude was, that is the truth. Because I was predestinated. It wasn't, I don't even know. Then the message came, and the prophet, I started learning. Man, I never dreamed about. When I went to Brother Green Church for the first time, I thought it was a bunch of saints. I mean, I couldn't even measure up to. I looked at them, clean faces, long dresses, long hair, long faces. Oh, no. No, that part, strike that part. It's, God knows just exactly what he's going to do. So why would you worry about it? Right. Why were you afraid that this not going on at work and this not going on at home and this not going on with this? Leave it in his hands. Right. That's all. He knows what he's doing. You want a house? You want a job? I don't know. You want children's? Not you. You already have enough. Not because I looked at her and I don't want her thing. You know, leave it in the hands of God. Amen. Tell God, you know, pray. Tell him your desires. Right. And whenever. Don't even think about it anymore. Right. You leave it in his hands. We don't. See, we don't. You think you do. You don't know what you... In fact, I don't even know what I need. But he knows what I need. That's why I come to church. Because I know he knows. And if I do, then I'm wrong. I know that much. But the man says, if you know, if you think you know everything, you're wrong. So don't be annoyed at all. Because you're wrong. We just have to receive it as he gave it to us. So when situations come to your life, in this journey and situations and circumstances and you know, just do not. Lord, will you take this away from me? Wait now. Just embrace it. You know what an eagle do when he faces a storm? An eagle opens his big wings, you know, and he starts flapping. And you know what he do? He fly to the storm. And he continue flying to the storm high. Because you know what happened? The same wind that is generating, hallelujah, it makes the wind, you know, in the right position, give you a boost over the storm. You're not supposed to run away from the storm. You're supposed to embrace whatever happens to you in your life every day. Amen. Open the winds. Amen. Open the promises of God, the scriptures. Recite to you whatever. Praise the Lord. Open your wings. Yeah. You know, when Satan comes as a flood, you can surf over the flood. Amen. Well, you cannot do a water with an eagle, but you can surf through. You know, I see these people surfing. They don't run away from the wave. They go to it so they can make it over. If you give your back, you can get killed. Because your protection is only, you know, put the full armor of God, only protect your back is empty, is open. So as soon as you turn around to go, you're done. Don't show Satan your backside. That is already hidden in Christ. He cannot see it unless you turn and show him to him. Oh, I fear this, I fear that, I'm afraid of... Don't show your back. Just face your challenge, embrace it, open those wings like an eagle, and you can fly over. He says, I know. He says, we just have to receive it as he gave it to us. See, don't start, well, this means this, this means that. Let me go talk to the pastor. This brother has a gift of this and that. Let me see what he... Listen, if you don't understand it, just take it. And have people pray for you, whatever you want to do, but take it. See, don't try to get away from or try to get rid of something. That's why sometimes when I pray for people, sometimes I kind of leery when to take something, you know, if there's sickness or anything. I don't know why God put that sickness on that person. But I pray that God give him wisdom and, you know, to know why. Of course, I pray for the healing, but in his time. Now, sometimes there's miracles happen in them. Sometimes it's a healing. A healing is a long process. He knows, but he knows, and there's nothing going to go wrong. Oh, my goodness, praise the Lord. Nothing is going to go wrong. If you trust God and you stand fast and you stand in your feet, nothing can go wrong. It is Satan that tells you that lie. Yeah, when you start dwelling in that thing, leave it alone. Say what God said, stand and see your victory. You will have victory in this journey. Don't be a victim. That's why Satan wants you to be a victim. You're not a victim, you're a victor this morning. He has planned it to do it. My. It wasn't Satan that planned it. He planned for you to go through that for a reason. He said, there has to be sometimes rugged. Oh, we don't like rugged. Hard, we don't like hard. What can this be easy? What is gospel be easy? What is journey can be just a picnic? It's not a picnic. He says, sometimes it has to be rugged. This journey has had to be hard. To only bring out the what? How I know that you are not a liar unless you have an opportunity to lie? I know that you are honest unless you have an opportunity to steal. See, this thing comes to us to prove who we are. Job was, he never cursed. But he was wondering why? And God has to come and say, this is who you are. Before the foundation of the world, this is who you are. He says, to bring the real, the nature of what? You know, you are who you are when you act. When things come to your life, situations. It might use the brother, it might use the sister, it might use your wife. To bring out the real you. So either going to be the real you or the funny one. You know, there's two kind of goals. There's a fool's goal and it's a real goal. And they almost look at, unless you are very good at this thing, you will never know what it is. They look so much alike. But you know, how can you tell one person is real and what is not? The response that you get. See, you cannot stop what comes to your life, but your response tells me your fruits will tell me who you are. The way you act when you are retaliate, when somebody said false things about you, when somebody hurt your feeling, the way you respond, it will tell me who you are. Because that test came because there must be something in us that God is trying to get rid of, and the only way he can get rid of that is not, don't belong in your life, is to bring the situation. So the real you, so the thing that God has put in you. Job, he says, Satan said, I make a curse you. And then God looked at the angels and kind of a smirk. You know? He don't know what I have put in that boy. And when you start pressuring him, he's going to show you what is in him. The same thing with you. Everything that happens in this journey is to prove to you, God already knows, to prove to you who you are by your actions. There are people in the message, there are people that are Christians that are active and not some are reactive. You know what the difference between being active and reactive? Some people go to life to this trip. And when something happens in their life, then they react. They're not prepared. And they are surprised. And things come and they react depending on what happened to them. And sometimes the reaction, because they're not prepared to react, they never plan it, just having to go to the journey. Or not what I do, so spontaneously they react, they explode. But when you already know and you're not surprised and you know who you are, you don't have to react. You are active. You know, active means you go right down to your knees. You go down to prayer. Do those things. I'm going to finish. Don't worry, I'm going to finish. But I'm going to finish when he finishes. So if you have any problem, talk to my boss this morning. He sent me here, so talk to him. Rugged, hard, but that is all to bring who you are. Amen. Let us pray. Father, I am without words this morning. How awesome you are. As I look at your plan of salvation, your plan of redemption from the very beginning, Father, even when Adam fell, that wasn't a surprise. And you already had a plan to redeem him, even there. It wasn't a surprise. Father, and I thank you as I look and meditate in your word and how awesome you are. I can trust you, Father. I have confidence because I know that my life is in you. Father, thank you for these precious moments that we have to share your word. I just pray that it helps someone in some way. That is all my purpose, to help someone to get along this journey. Father, there is nothing wrong with this journey. Father, everything is just right. It is your plan. It is your word. And that word will never come back void. It will do what it's supposed to. Father, thank you for this church, for the musicians, for the congregation, for Father, all those that work so dearly, cleaning, and the deacons and the trustees. Thank you for my brother, Doug, our pastor. We pray right now to lay your hands on him and strengthen him and give him this oil, our Father. Father, we love you, we thank you, and we entrust the rest of this day in your hands, Father. Father, we love you because we love each other. And that is the true verification that I love you is how I love my brother. Thank you for this congregation and the love that we have shared mutually all this year. Father, I could go on and on. If I had to, all you have done in my life, there would be not enough papers to write all this. But thank you, Father. Now bless your people as they go out. And tonight, Father, we welcome you again, expecting from you to feed us once again and meet our needs. In Jesus' name, we ask you all these things. Amen and amen. In the journey.